Good morning, everyone. I have to switch hats first. I cannot leave this place without thanking you for all that you do for Swift Creek. I do tell people all the time about that church across the street that you spend time reading with our kids. Just the other day, you came in with truckloads of school supplies. What a wonderful, wonderful group of people. And I'm sure that Swift Creek is not the only place where you're reaching out to. So I just want to thank you for that. Now, I'll switch hats. I'm going to read to you this morning from Exodus chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Exodus 3 and 1 says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn.' So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Draw not near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground.'" Would you pray with me for just a moment? God, I love you, and I thank you for this glorious day that we have to serve you. I thank you for your word, and I pray that right now that your anointed word will go forth and find the place where you intended it. In Jesus' name, amen. So sitting here thousands of years after this event occurred, my Sunday school version of this, I mean, it's been drilled in my head for years and years and years since I was praying with a pretend turtle. I've heard this story, and it would be easy today to exegete all the wonder and the glory out of this episode in the life of Moses. But I want to back up and see it today the way that Moses must have saw it on that day. In the days of his youth, several events had taken place in the life of Moses to know that he was on God's radar. He was spared from the genocide of the Hebrews commanded by Pharaoh. He was pulled out of the river by Pharaoh's daughter. He was raised as a son in the royal family until the day that he killed the Egyptian and escaped to the southern tip of the Arabian Peninsula. For the last 40 years, God has been silent in Moses' life as he lived the life of a shepherd. He was content. He married, he raised his family there. One might say that Moses was in a routine, maybe a rut. Take the sheep out, bring the sheep back. The next day, you take the sheep out and you bring the sheep back. It doesn't change. The task remains exactly the same every day. So one day, Moses was doing his ordinary job of taking ordinary sheep to the backside of an ordinary desert near an ordinary mountain. Now, the text calls this the mountain of God. But on this day, this was not a special mountain. This wasn't the holy place that we would know that it would be later. Moses was writing this far after the fact, and so he knew what would eventually happen at Horeb, but not on this day. In a few short years, Horeb would be the place where God would covenant with Israel and deliver the law. They would arrive at this mountain, a group of ragtag, weary immigrants, and they would leave a mighty nation. But today, it's just a mountain. Even a bush on fire out in the desert was not really that unusual. The climate, the lack of moisture would lend itself to these tender, brittle bushes igniting with fairly common frequency. So this was just an ordinary day on the job. But what caught Moses' attention this day, what made him stop, was that it wasn't the bush that fueled the fire. God had ignited Moses' ordinary for an extraordinary calling. He tells Moses this is holy ground. See, this place had never been a sanctuary. Moses had crisscrossed the terrain looking for food and water for the sheep for the past 40 years, and he knew nothing of its holiness. It became holy on this day in the presence of God. As a matter of fact, up until this particular day, the Bible describes the ground in very unattractive ways. You till the ground. Man was formed from the dust of the ground. Cursed is the ground. God rejected the sacrifice of Cain that came from the fruit of the ground. Abel's blood cried out from the ground. Things creep across the ground. The water of the flood covered the ground out of God's judgment. But today, ground became holy. And never before had God called anything holy. You look at it, look for the word holy. The first time it ever shows up is right here at this moment in Moses' life. He chose to call the ground that had been previously cursed and very ordinary now holy ground. And it was here on holy ground where God ignited Moses' ordinary life. Here God would take Moses' ordinary staff and turn it into a serpent. He would take his ordinary hand and turn it into this wonderful presentation of what God can do with the leprosy and then the healing of the leprosy. His ordinary speech and his language would turn into the mouthpiece of God. God even reveals himself at this moment as the I Am, the self-existent God, the eternal God, the I've always been here, I always will be here God. Moses did not receive a bag of magic tricks that day. The only thing that changed was that the I Am God showed up in the middle of Moses' ordinary life and made it extraordinary. The tools and the calling of God had always been there. It had always been on Moses. But now God's presence was there also. Throughout the Bible, you see opportunities where the ordinary becomes the extraordinary. It was just an ordinary day when Elijah walks by Elisha and tosses his cloak over that young man's shoulders as he plowed the field. It was just an ordinary day when David was called in from the field smelling like sheep. But before the day was over, he would smell like the holy anointing oil because he would be destined to be the next king. It was just an ordinary day when Peter and Andrew were putting their nets into the water to catch fish and just down the coast. It was just an ordinary day when James and John were mending their nets when Jesus came by. There was a little girl, very ordinary, preparing for an ordinary wedding. When an angel appears to her and says, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." And it was just an ordinary day when Ananias heard from God in a vision that told him to go to a street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so he might receive his sight. Now, if I was Ananias, I would think I would want to go back to the ordinary that day because I had heard of Saul. And the last thing I wanted was to hear that Saul had just had a dream about me. But in each of these stories and many others, when they reach the disruption in their lives in faith, God performs his will through them. It was just an ordinary day when a lady that my wife and I know named Karen, a pastor's wife and a mother, was arrested for being false. She was falsely accused. She spent several hours that ordinary day in jail. And as soon as she walked in that cell filled with women, they recognized something different about her. And before it was over, she had prayed with every one of them women, and they sang through Amazing Grace. And what progressed from that ordinary day that was totally disrupted by a visit to jail She now goes around the country and teaches women in prisons that there is a princess within you. And hundreds have come to know Jesus and been born again of water and spirit from just an ordinary day. It was an ordinary Sunday evening, January 15th, 2012, when my wife started suffering from an illness that would define our lives for the next 20 months. And this mystery illness was eventually miraculously healed, but it forever changed the course of our ministry. It was just an ordinary trip to North Carolina just a couple years ago when God asked me, "What about Chapel Hill?" Forever changed the course of my life. I want to help someone today that you might be a creature of habit and you might be totally fine with that, but you're suddenly experiencing this ignition of the ordinary. When we see something on fire in our ordinary lives, we tend to fight, flight, or freeze, right? There are days I come home from work and my wife asks me, "So how was work today?" And I just simply say, "I was putting out fires all day." You probably work in a very similar situation. Some days you feel like there's a fire, put it out, there's a fire, put it out. Or maybe you see something on fire at work or at home and you just turn the other way, hoping that no one's going to ask you to deal with that. Or maybe you're like the traffic on my way down here to Raleigh every day. The accident's over there, but we're all going to stop and just stare. Moses had seen other brush fires before, but those had caused destruction to the landscape of his life. This one was different. The bush was not fueling the fire. And what I want to say to you is that other fires may have ravaged the landscape of your life and caused destruction, but God does not use your life to fuel the fire when he's calling you somewhere else, when he's calling you to be greater, when he's calling you to a new purpose. God is not causing extraordinary destruction. He's calling you to a better ordinary. Today could be the day that God's calling you to a greater level of commitment. That fire that you see raging in your life could be God drawing you to a deeper revelation of who he is. The fire is making your cursed ground into holy ground. And when you leave holy ground, your ordinary tools and your abilities become supernatural. Your ordinary is about to catch on fire this week. And before you put it out, or before you run away, or before you just stand there in disbelief stare, why don't you pray to God? "God, are you showing me something through this? Are you leading me to a new level of commitment to you? Is there a new ministry in my life that you're trying to make me aware of? Is there a deeper understanding of how marvelous and glorious the I Am truly is?" God may very well be calling you to do the extraordinary. The story of Moses was so many thousands of years ago. How does that possibly apply to me in 2018 in Raleigh, North Carolina? I firmly believe that the miracles of the Bible were performed by the same God that we have today. And God is just waiting for somebody to say, "Okay, God, I see something on fire. What do you want to teach me? What do you want to show me? Where do you want to take me?" God, I thank you that there are moments in our lives where you call us to an even greater purpose. Lord, there's not a person in this room that has reached the pinnacle of relationship with you. There's so much more to know. There's so much more to do. God, when my life is on fire, when I see the bush that I have passed by again and again and again, suddenly it is ignited. Help me, God, to stop and find out, is there someone there that you want me to minister to? Is there something there that you want me to know about you? Are you wanting to turn my ordinary ground, the area that I have crossed over time and time again that has been cursed, are you wanting to turn it into holy ground? God, help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Help us, God, to be the Moses that you're calling us all to be. Jesus, in your name, amen. God bless you all, and thank you.